Welcome to Morning with Meaning with the OU Women's Initiative. This is Adina Broder, and today we'll be discussing the messages that we can learn from Kinos 14 and 17. Kinah 14 is a kinah of hope. It says that Hashem created the world in such a way that destruction would always be followed by salvation. We see that after each day of creation, the Torah says, Vayhi erev, vayhi voker, after the night, there is morning. This signifies that after a period of darkness, there will be light. This sense of hope is essential to the feeling of emunah that every Jew is supposed to have. The key is to realize that everything that happens to us comes from Hashem. The Gemara in Chulin discusses how involved Hashem is in our everyday lives. Rabbi Chanina writes, Ein adam nokeif etzba'o milamata, ella im kein machrizin alav milamala, that a person doesn't even stub his toe here on earth unless it was decreed that this should happen from above. This is telling us that everything that happens in a person's life, whether big or small, is directly caused by Hashem. Once we accept Hashem's involvement in all aspects of our lives, we can understand the statement in Mesilas Yesharim, which says, Kol inyanei ha'olam, bein latov, bein lara, harei hei nisyonot la'adam. Everything that happens in the world, whether for good or for bad, is a test for a person. Every situation that someone finds himself is a hand-picked test from Hashem. It wasn't random or coincidental for a person to be in a certain situation. It was orchestrated by Hashem to test us. Of course, Hashem, as an omniscient God, already knows if the person will respond correctly to the test. It's not like a teacher who gives a test to determine what information the students know. When Hashem gives a test, like the 10 tests that he gave to Avram Avinu, Hashem knows whether the person will pass the test. Why then does Hashem constantly test us throughout our lives? According to the Ramban, Hashem tests us in order for us to actualize our latent potential. Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer expands on this idea, saying that we may be put through an ordeal in order for us to learn our own abilities. Only by realizing what we are capable of can we then fulfill our potential. Rabbi Shmuel Reichman offers a story by way of analogy to help demonstrate this concept. There was a man who was training to compete in a high jump competition, which requires him to clear a 6-foot bar. He practiced every day by jumping over various size fences. While initially he had only been able to clear a 3-foot fence, soon he was able to jump 4 feet and then even 5 feet. But no matter how hard he tried, he couldn't clear the 6-foot fence. He was ready to give up. And then, one day, during his training, he saw a ferocious dog charging towards him at full speed. Without thinking, the man ran towards the 6-foot fence and leaped over it. This was the same fence that just moments before he was convinced that he would never be able to conquer. Why was he suddenly able to do so? The answer is that he actually had been capable of jumping 6 feet for quite some time, but his self-doubt was holding him back. However, when he was being chased by the dog, he was able to actualize that latent potential. This is often true with challenges that we face, where we're able to do things that we hadn't thought ourselves capable of. The challenge brings out strengths that are there within us, helping us realize the potential that would otherwise remain hidden. This is one way of understanding the tough situations that Hashem gives us as tests. Another approach that is equally inspiring is that with each test that we pass, those proper reactions and behaviors become more and more ingrained in us. Then, instead of it being a struggle to pass the test, we hardly even need to think about what the right thing to do is, because it's become part of our nature. Rabbi Pesach Kron tells a story about a husband and wife who took an afternoon off from their jobs to spend time together. They were going to start by having a picnic, and so the husband dropped the wife off at the market to pick up some food items. Meanwhile, the husband said that he needed to get something from his office around the corner. A few minutes later, when the wife came out of the market, her husband wasn't there. This was before there were cell phones, so she couldn't call him. As the minutes ticked by, 5 minutes, then 10 minutes, the wife found herself getting more and more annoyed. Here they had this whole afternoon planned, and the husband was nowhere to be found. The wife then calmed her thinking, and she said to herself, Hashem, everything in life is a test. Since this is a test, I'm going to pass it and I'm going to get 100. She decided that no matter when her husband would come and no matter what he would say, she wasn't going to get upset and let it ruin the day. A few minutes later, the husband came, and of course he apologized for being late. And the wife stayed true to her internal promise. She didn't berate him for making her wait. She completely put it out of her mind and enjoyed the afternoon with her husband. This woman shared the story with others, and they internalized the message. They started taking on the practice that when they were facing a challenging situation, they would say out loud, "Hashem, if this is a test, I'm going to pass it with 100. They actually made keychains and bumper stickers with this slogan on them. What an incredible way to approach an obstacle or a challenge. Instead of letting it get you down, let it motivate you to succeed. Having this attitude also builds our emunah by reminding us that everything is under Hashem's control. We'll end today with Kinah 17, which is very unsettling. It describes the immense hunger of the Jewish people when the Babylonians captured Yerushalayim. Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, the author of this Kinah, begins with words taken directly from Megillas Eicha, "Im tochalna nashim piryam," which speaks of women cannibalizing their offspring. It continues by saying that the normally compassionate Jewish women cooked their own children and feasted on their flesh. Obviously, this is incredibly disturbing and hard for us to comprehend. How is it possible that the Jewish people, who are known for their kindness and empathy, could have behaved in such a barbaric manner? How could they have descended to such degeneracy? The only way for us to understand this is to acknowledge that the tremendous suffering of the Jewish people at that time destroyed their nature and their humanity. It twisted the moral fibers of their being so that they could rationalize even the most savage behavior. Somehow they thought, "I gave my child life, and so now he needs to give that life to me so I can survive." Of course, this is depraved reasoning. No sane person would think this way, but their suffering warped their minds. A question we have is, why did Hashem let this happen? How could he let his beloved people sink so low? The Kinah actually gives the answer. Many years before, there was a Navi and a Kohen named Zechariah who rebuked the Jewish people for their sins. Rather than heeding his warning, they murdered him. To compound this heinous act, they killed this holy tzaddik on Yom Kippur in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. It was this crime that corrupted the Jewish people and perverted their nature. The cause and effect between a sin and the deterioration of the perpetrator's nature isn't unique to what's described in this Kinah. Every time a person sins, it causes damage to his character. On the most basic level, doing an avera desensitizes a person to sinning, making him more likely to sin again. Therefore, every time a person finds himself struggling with his conscience, he should consider that the decision that he is now making affects not only his immediate behavior, but creates a likelihood that he will do something similar in the future. This idea will hopefully give us all ammunition when we're fighting our Yetzirah. I hope you'll join me for tomorrow's shiur, when we'll discuss the importance of appreciating what we have and how we can bring gratitude into our daily lives. Thank you for listening to Morning with Meaning with the OU Women's Initiative. This shiur is dedicated Le'iloi Nishmos Paraleia Bas Shlomo David and Shaul Ben Baruch. Rabbi Sin Peggy Weiss was Nifteret on Ches Tishrei 2014. Rabbi Saul Weiss was Nifter Dalad Sivan 2019. In the merit of our learning, my parents' neshama should have an aliyah.